Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EP. And if you're not already connected with our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Mr. Lee Featherby, Chief Executive Officer at Powerful Points, a visual communication specialist company which creates presentations, videos, motion graphics, and other digital media to help their customers deliver effective, concise, targeted messaging. Mr. Featherby, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric. I'm delighted to be here.
Yes, sir. We're certainly happy that you made it out and looking forward to hearing all about Powerful Points and some direction here. So for starters, what are the key factors which make a good, effective presentation?
Well, the main most important part is messaging. When we often speak to people and we ask them, where did you learn to do a presentation? The responses we usually get back are things like, I learned it from my boss, or depending on their age, I learned it at school, or they learned it at university. They might have learned it a little bit on YouTube. Very few of them might have actually done a course. So what happens in that situation is bad habits get perpetuated. So no one's actually taught how to put a presentation together, which is distinct from the software. PowerPoint, for example, you have a lot of people who learn PowerPoint and they think that then means they can create presentations. And that's like saying if you learn Word, you can learn to be a good writer. There's a distinction between knowing how to use the software and knowing how to actually create an effective presentation. So it's not, whilst good looking slides are important, what's really, really critical is to make sure that your messaging is correct.
Yes, sir. That's certainly of most importance for sure. Now, what are the most obvious differences between a good, effective presentation and one which won't effectively engage an audience?
So there's a couple of things. And the most common, we've researched this fairly extensively. I mean, the two most common complaints is there's too much text on the slide and the speaker just reads the material off that slide, which is what you have to do when you have too much text on the slide. So there's a couple of things that most people fail to understand when they put together a presentation. And firstly, that a presentation consists of both a speaker and slides. If it's only got a speaker, it's a speech, and if it's only got slides, it's a document. So a presentation needs to understand that both of those elements, the speaker and the slides, need to work together. It's not the preponderance of one over the other. So your slides need to support the speaker. So the slides, in our opinion, you only ever create a slide to deliver or evidence a key message. That's the role of a slide. And if people start to look at their slides and say, is that delivering or evidencing a key message, usually that'll get rid of about 30% of the slides because most of the slides are there for no real reason. People just think they need to put the material together, put it in there, because they don't really have any guidelines with which to determine what do I create a slide for. So if you have one that can deliver or evidence a key message, is the purpose of a slide, and the speaker's job is to give context, meaning, and emotional engagement about that. When you get those two things working together and put together, and the message is what we call crafted in the right way, in other words, it's not just a series of facts that you're jumping on people, but you're actually telling a story, trying to prove a point. It really comes together magically. It engages people. They participate in the conversation around it. They listen and they walk out. Hopefully you've achieved the objective you want, which is usually in the area of wanting people to do something or to think, feel, or say something about the material that you've presented.
Certainly some fantastic information right there. Thanks for your input and insight in all regards. Now, what have you found are the most effective methods or techniques people need to employ when giving a presentation?
So the first thing that is really where they, a couple of things that they need to start with. And first, what happens when people get given a presentation to do is they put it in their drawer and leave it for about 3 days before they need to present. And that's a real disaster because you don't get enough time to work on it, don't get enough time to think about it. So the first thing, and then when they do, they run out of time. So what they then do is they open their computer, open PowerPoint, start looking for slides that might relate to what they're talking about in other decks, pull those together, maybe create a couple of other slides, and end up with a mishmash of good material. So what you need to do firstly is to say, what is it I want people to think, do, and feel at the end of this presentation? What's my presentation objective? It's like anything in business and in life in general. It's going to be far more effective if you know what the outcome is. But very few people actually sit down and plan the outcome of their presentation. You know, when we work with our clients, we like to get it very succinct. We like to say, you know, finish the sentence. At the end of the presentation, I want the audience to what? And it might be, I want the audience to buy my product. I want the board to approve my project. I want to be given the go-ahead for further investigation or something like that. Because that is the most critical part. Once you have clear on what your objective is, everything else you do can be measured against that. You can ask yourself, if I don't include this, will it interfere with me achieving my objective? And if the answer to that is yes, then you need it. And if the answer is that, you don't have it. So you start to get rid of material. You know, no one's ever walked out of a presentation and gone, that was great, I wish it went for longer. So you start to get a really focused presentation then on, you know, what the outcome you want to achieve. The second thing, and that's the area where we really work, is what we call audience-focused presentations. People get given a presentation and the first thing they do is say, what do I want to say? And they construct a presentation around everything that they want to say, which is often different to what the audience will want to hear. See, if you've got you're presenting to either a customer or an executive leadership team or a board or anything where you want people to make a decision in your favor, you have to start, rather than say, what do I want to say, you have to ask yourself, if I was them listening to this presentation, what would I need to know in order to say yes to what I'm asking? This is a radical turnaround around the way that you create a presentation, because it's no longer about you, it's about your audience. And once you start to get that, that changes the way you construct your presentation, it changes the way you language your messages, and it changes the focus of how you deliver your presentation. It's probably one of the single biggest turning points to creating an effective presentation is start thinking about it in context of the audience and not yourself.
Anyone looking to give a presentation in the near future or even well into the future can really benefit from this information. Awesome stuff. Today we're joined by Lee Featherby, Chief Executive Officer at Powerful Points, a visual communication specialist company here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Lee, what are some of the common mistakes people make when presenting their ideas to groups?
The number one mistake I think people make is it's hard to say one because there's many of them, but one of the things that they tend to forget is the why. They don't give people the true understanding of, you know, why do you need to do this? Why do you need to know this? Why am I telling you this? It's all about the what, the where, the when, the who, it's anything but the why. And, of course, it's the why that makes all the difference. If anyone's ever gone on a diet or they know people's gone on a diet, they say to them, like, what do you have to do to lose weight? They'll usually say, well, I've got I've got to exercise more, I've got to eat differently and eat less. I've got to burn more calories than I consume. There's not a lack of knowledge about what they need to do in order to lose weight. There's not a lack of knowledge to know if they want to give up smoking what they need to do. So if it's about knowledge, then we should be living in a trim, non-smoking world, but it doesn't happen that way because knowing stuff makes no difference. The thing that makes the biggest single change in the world is the why. You need to give people a reason to change because the default position is to do nothing because change requires effort. So if you don't give a profound and moving why you need to change, why you need to take on what I'm recommending, you know, why my project is the best thing for the company or the board or your company or your career or whatever that is, then there is no reason to change. It's too easy to fall into the what's, the where, the how's, and everything but the why. But the why, is the most important without question. Particularly these days, research shows that people would rather. It was J.K. Galbraith that said that when it comes to changing your mind or finding reasons why not to, people start investigating all the reasons. Because it's again very easy to hold your position on something because change indicates that you might have done something wrong, that you might, that you're not on top of the game. There's lots of things that are associated with giving up a position on something. Research also says that the more you try and throw data at people to get them to change their mind, the people that are in an entrenched position, the more likely they are to dig into their current position. So you can't just throw data at people. You've got to give people a reason things have changed. You know? And that, particularly these days, might be technological reasons. It was very logical that you would hold this position, around whatever it is that you are, because at the time that's the way the situation was. But this is what's changed. So this is why it's important now to take this new position. That then gives people a reason or an ability to be insightful and say, yes, he's very right about that. Now I can take that position. So really make sure you focus on the why in your presentation. Without that, it's going to be hard work to get people to change. And as I said, very few presentations are given to maintain the status quo. Most are actually given to take on something new, approve something, give me money, that sort of thing.
Yeah, thanks for bringing focus to the importance of the why, and the why is so important in so many factors, especially in a presentation. So thanks for pointing that out and some great information around that as well. Tell us, how easy is it for them to fix these errors, and what can they do to resolve them?
Well, the first thing is awareness. What we talk about is not rocket science. It's really just that we haven't, as I said, most people, when they do their presentations very quickly, usually they're very short of time. Presentations are not something that we have a lot of time about. We allocate a lot of time to, unless it's a really, really significant presentation, like a major response to a quote or a proposal, or something where your career is severely at stake, or because you're presenting to very senior people or that sort of stuff. And then they just fall back into habits about what they've always done. They've never actually thought about it. So the first thing I would say to you is, just really think about it and don't be stuck in the old way of doing things. One of the things that we say is think outside the box. Sometimes a PowerPoint presentation isn't the best way to achieve your objective. Is there another way to do it? Because the default position, the fallback position, again, is to just open PowerPoint and start doing stuff like that. But is it really, really necessary? There was a case, and it blends again a little bit on the why, but the company will remain nameless. But there was one organisation that was very silo-based, very single business unit. So every managing director had full authority, had his own functional departments in marketing, HR, buying, and operational responsibility. And that was the culture of the company. That was the way it had been structured. That's the way it had been successful for a number of years, because the managing director or the CEO of each division was held accountable for full results. One of the directors of the company had been pushing for a number of years to try and get a centralized buying department, because he didn't feel that the purchasing was as efficient as it could be. And he'd done about four or five presentations at board level and had no success. So one day he sent his people out to all their factories. They were a large industrial manufacturer, just to get a sample of the gloves that they used in their manufacturing processes, and to write on those gloves what price they paid for those gloves in each one of those particular factories and each one of those divisions. And then he got all of those in before the next board meeting. He put all those gloves on the boardroom table before the board entered, and he got the board to look at them. And one pair of gloves in one factory was $13, and one pair of gloves in another factory was $27. And there was lots of contrast like that. And it was immediately obvious that here was a serious problem. He then did his presentation about the savings that would come from it, the implementation, the execution of it. And the board actually supported him in that, because a couple of things had happened. A, he stepped outside this, he made it real for people. So try and make a presentation as real, and PowerPoint isn't always as real. Now, I'm talking to you from a person that makes his money out of creating significant presentations with software like that. But I'm telling you, it's not always the best way to go. So have a look, is there another way to communicate what I'm trying to communicate, or is there a way I can make the point about my the driving need for change more real than just putting it up on a PowerPoint deck to start with? Number two, start thinking about it in the context of what's important to the audience, not necessarily what you want to say. Spend some time putting that together. And finally, one little thing, with slide titles, don't just say something like sales results or financial results or financial objectives or whatever it is. With your slide title, say something about that delivers a message for you. So, it might be sales results are up 5%, or market share is down 2%, or profitability triples over the next 3 years, well, there's an extra $100 million on our sales between now and 2025. Because that gives that message, that point that you're trying to make, so much more power, because suddenly it's not just sales results, financial projections, that sort of thing. You're actually saying something in the most important part of the slide about the point you're trying to make. Then all your content is just proving that. Because at the end of the presentation, the things that they remember are going to determine your success or your failure. If you just say sales results, there's nothing to remember about that. But if you say sales results are up 5% in the next 6 months, there's a fair chance they will remember that particular key point. So just something as simple as making your slide titles more powerful in delivering key messages will make a big difference to the effectiveness of the presentation.
Mr. Featherby, can't thank you enough for joining us here today. A lot of rich information and can be applied in other aspects of business as well. So really appreciate your coming out today. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a tip, anything else you'd like to share along the lines of our conversation today?
One final point. Think of all the money you spend attracting your customers to your organization with websites, with advertising, with brochures, with sales forces, out calling on people. And then when it comes to that point, very often people leave the presentation to the EA or the salesperson to put together. But it's that point that closes the deal for you. It's that point that influences the decision of the customer to make the decision in your favor. It really does need a bigger percentage of your thought and resources to make it effective than probably what it is in most companies around the world today.
Thanks for those concluding remarks and advice. Much appreciated, and really appreciate your time with us here as well. Tell us where listeners can get more information on Powerful Points online and how they could be best in contact as well.
www.powerfulpoints.com.au or info@powerfulpoints.com.au, and we'll get back to you.
Easy enough. Again, Lee, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly was our pleasure.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Anytime. We've been speaking with Lee Featherby, the Chief Executive Officer at Powerful Points, a visual communication specialist company which creates presentations, videos, motion graphics, and other digital media to help their customers deliver effective, concise, targeted messaging. And for all the details, visit powerfulpoints.com.au. And this is Eric Dying. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.